Well, good morning. Welcome to each one. It's a privilege to be here. And after a week of, in our world, of much unrest, the awesome privilege to be together in a setting like this of peace, and to one more time have a public display of identifying with Jesus Christ in a free way. And a lot of our brothers and sisters around the world don't have that privilege this morning. And I was just reminded of the peaceful setting we're in, and how much unrest is in our world. And also, it's a picture of how much unrest is in the heart outside of Christ. And we thank God for the peace in our hearts today. My mind was drawn for a little verse this morning, a couple verses. My mind was drawn to 3 John, where it talks about, and I'll read 3 John 1:1-4. It says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gainas," that's John at the end of his ministry, says, "Beloved, of whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I have rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." John was referring to his spiritual brethren, of their walking in faithfulness to God. And we use that verse a lot as parents and grandparents of our children walking in truth. And this morning there's a lot of rejoicing happening. I see a number of grandparents here, and that's great. And there's rejoicing in their hearts to know that children have decided to follow Jesus. And there's a lot of rejoicing in parents' hearts for their children deciding to follow Jesus and committing their lives to Him in this way, this morning, in a public display. It brings a parent a lot of joy. There's also a lot of joy in a lot of friends who care about these young people and who have walked with them and just supporting them in their journey this morning. But not only here on this earth is rejoicing, there's rejoicing in heaven this morning. They have committed their lives to Jesus, and that brought rejoicing. But I believe this morning as well, there's rejoicing in heaven. I was also drawn to Luke 15, and we think of that passage a lot as the prodigal son. But there's a lot of storylines in that passage, in that story. And one of them is rejoicing. And if you remember the first part, there's two stories before the prodigal son. One of the 100 sheep, and one was lost, and they went to find, and they came back, and they found this, the one that was lost, and there was rejoicing. He said there's rejoicing in heaven over one that's lost. And I don't know what you picture of the party going on in heaven when one soul comes back to the Lord. But then it talks about the coin. This lady lost a coin, and she searched diligently and found it. And it says, likewise, there is joy in the presence of among the angels, but there's joy in the presence before God of one that comes back to Him. Just drawing your minds to the rejoicing in heaven this morning as these young people take a stand for Jesus, that there's great rejoicing also amongst your earthly family, but also in heaven, among the angels and with our Heavenly Father. This also is a nail in a coffin for Satan. This morning is a public declaration of identifying with Jesus Christ. And it's a defeat for Satan, and we rejoice in that this morning, of declaring to not only to those who see, but also the unseen world, and to Satan, I am identifying with Jesus Christ. I am going to follow Jesus with all my heart. And the baptism is a seal of that commitment to follow Jesus. So we rejoice with you in that this morning. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to gather in this way, just to celebrate committing lives to Jesus, of surrender, of selling out to Jesus, to follow with all their hearts, with all their lives. And Lord, we're here to support and to stand behind these young people as they make this declaration. Lord, help us to be examples of a true follower of Jesus for these young people. Help us not to be a stumbling block, but to encourage their walk with you. And Lord, may it be a reminder of our commitment to you. As many of us one day were at the place of these young people and were baptized, and we took our stand for Jesus. Lord, may it be a time of reminding us of our commitment. And Lord, if we've slacked or fallen, Lord, pray for forgiveness and to renew our walk with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this morning is an exciting time in the lives of us as a body of believers, because there's some young people here that have taken a stand and drove a stake in their lives, or deciding to do that this morning. That is, I believe, important not only for the physical world, but for the unseen world, for the spiritual world. There's a stake that is driven when we publicly confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that goes beyond just what happens here, and the power that of being a part of a body and being in the family of Christ. But I believe spiritually there are things that happen in the spiritual world that are powerful, and it changes who we are as people, first of all, but it changes as well how Satan views us, because we've driven a stake, and I don't believe he has quite the authority that he's had before, even though we've committed our life to Christ. There's a stake that's being driven that is very important in the spiritual realm. And so I want to bless you this morning. And actually, the title of my message is Your Baptism Clothes. And you didn't put on any other clothes this morning when you came to get baptized other than what you normally do. But in the spiritual realm, there's some verses that jumped out at me that I want to read this morning. As we're looking at the subject of you being baptized, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. There's just four verses here I want to read. It says, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is a side note from what I'm actually going to be talking on, but it's pretty significant that you're called sons, that we are called sons of God as we become baptized. And I know there's a lot of push today to remove gender from the scripture. But it's significant based on Hebrew history that you as ladies are actually now called sons of God. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. There's no distinction between gender. That is true. But it's pretty significant that we are all, as we're baptized, called sons of God, because there's an inheritance that comes along with the fact that we are now sons of God. And that's just a little side note, but the... Thanks, Doug. But the... Yeah, now I have to figure out where I stopped. But the chance that we have to be sons of God and to be heirs of the promise of God, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is really huge. And the inheritance that we have as sons of God. So that verse is actually very significant, although I don't want to spend a lot of time on that this morning. Verse 27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And the NIV and some of the other translations read this way, "have clothed yourselves with Christ." So those are some of your new clothes that you're putting on this morning. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Just a couple of things. I want to pick these verses apart a little bit. First of all, it talks about the fact that you are being baptized into Christ. And let me say this. Just because we have been baptized doesn't mean that we've been baptized into Christ. And Scripture talks about that. There were different times throughout Scripture where people were baptized according to John's baptism. They were baptized for repentance. And Scripture also talks about the fact that people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but they weren't baptized into Christ. There's a big difference between those two. And when we're baptized into Christ, it says that we then put on Christ. So we can go through the mode of baptism. We can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can go through the mode of baptism, but that doesn't mean that we're baptized into Christ. So it's pretty significant, this whole thing, and especially for you that are being baptized this morning. This isn't just a service that we're going through. It's that you're publicly declaring that I'm leaving aside my old life and I'm putting on Jesus Christ. I'm being clothed with Jesus Christ. I'm leaving my own old life, my old clothes back here, and I am being baptized into Jesus Christ. I'm putting on a new set of clothes. That doesn't just happen with the service. That happens in your heart. The reason for which you're being baptized, the declaration, the commitment that you are making is one of the main things that is important, because we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, not just go through a service. It says that we're baptized into Jesus Christ. I want to look just a little bit at the baptism of Jesus, because in some ways, you're putting on the life of Jesus. Your new clothes are the life of Jesus Christ now. That's what you're wearing. You're wearing Jesus Christ. And so a part of figuring that out is looking back at Jesus and figuring out what was going on in his life when he was baptized. A couple of things that happened in Jesus' baptism. First of all, Jesus was baptized, and Jesus says this, that it was a requirement for him to be baptized. And I've often wondered about that, because Jesus didn't need to be baptized for repentance or for any of the reasons that we sometimes look at baptism. Jesus didn't need to do that. But he says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, "Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." And so Jesus was being baptized so that he could fulfill all that was holy and right and just. And a part of that was the law. I'm not going to go into all that that meant. But he was fulfilling what was required of him to fulfill all righteousness. We have been commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus and be baptized into Christ. And so we're following that. Today, a part of your baptism is just a requirement that the Lord has required of you. And we're fulfilling that here this morning. Second of all, Jesus' baptism was, a part of his baptism was also consecration. In Exodus, it talks about the priests, that they had to be consecrated for the work that the Lord had called them to do. And Jesus was doing. A part of Jesus' baptism was a consecration for the work that he had come to earth to fulfill. The work that he had, the Father had sent him for. He was baptized. It was a consecration for him. This morning, as you're baptized as well, it's a consecration for the work that God has for you in the future and the work that God is calling you to do. As you're baptized this morning, it was also a declaration. John the Baptist, in John 1:29-31, he introduced who Jesus was to the people. And his baptism was a declaration, and I talked about this a little bit earlier, but it was a declaration to the seen world, to the people that were observing that, But it was also a declaration to the unseen world and Satan. And it's pretty significant that right after this happened, Satan attacked Jesus in pretty powerful ways. But Jesus made a declaration at his baptism that was saying, I am here and I'm no longer silent in the mission that God has called me to do. I'm going for it. This is the beginning of it. I'm consecrating myself. I'm declaring it here and now that I'm going to follow God with all of my heart and with all of my soul, and I'm going to complete the work that he has sent me to do. And that's exactly what it means for you this morning. Your baptism is also a declaration that you are driving the stake in the seen and the unseen world, that you're going to go for it with all of your heart and mind. You're putting on the new clothes of Jesus Christ. There was anticipation. His baptism was an anticipation for what was ahead for Jesus. What was ahead for him? He was starting a new work. He was starting the work, let me put it this way, that God had called him to, and there was great anticipation for what lay ahead for him. Baptism for us, someone has said, points back to the work of God and forward to the life of faith. That's the anticipation piece. It's pointing back to what God has already done in your hearts and lives here today and how you've accepted him into your heart and life. It's pointing back to that, but it's also pointing ahead to a life of faith. And sometimes we think faith is the fact that we have to live not knowing anything. And I like this quote that Clarence Jordan said about faith. Faith is not belief in spite of evidence, but a life in scorn of the consequences. That's a powerful, I want to read that again. That is a powerful statement. Faith is not belief in spite of evidence. It's not believing when we don't have any evidence that God is working. That's a part of it. But faith is really a life of scorn in spite of the consequences. You will face consequences for your decision here today. As you clothe yourself in Christ, for those of you that are being baptized, there are going to be consequences that come with that. Some of them are very positive consequences. Very positive, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I believe an empowering for us in the life that God has called us to. So those are our consequences, but also with that comes some negative consequences as we look at culture and the things around us. And it's not always easy for us to take a stand and be a Christian in today's world, because we can get laughed at for what God, as we clothe ourselves with Christ, and I'm using those words because some of you are fairly young, but if you take a stand for what God is calling you to do, it may not be the popular thing among your peers. It may not be. But faith, living a life of faith, is being willing to live life and to clothe yourselves with Christ in spite of the consequences that it's going to call you to, or that may come as a result of the decision that you have made. That's living a life of faith. Anticipation for the future is also identification. It's interesting, as far as I know in all of Scripture, Jesus' baptism was the only place that all three persons of the Trinity were identified at one time. And Jesus, when he was baptized, the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So right there, the Father and the Son were identified. And then the Spirit came down in the form of a dove and landed on Jesus to empower him for the work that he was called to do. And we see that later on. I already mentioned that from there he went into the wilderness for 40 days. And 40 nights, incredible temptation, but he was empowered through the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus' baptism was an identification with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and all three were identified right there. When you're baptized, it's an identification for you. And it's taking off the clothes, like I said before, and putting on the clothes of the Father that he's given you to wear. of Jesus Christ. You're clothed with Jesus Christ. So that's what it means. That's some of what it means when we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We're also clothed with Christ, the second part of that verse. And I've talked pretty much about that. But it's pretty, let me just say this, it's pretty easy for us in our lives to say, this is what I want to do with my life, and Lord, will you bless me with what I want to do? Will you bless me? Will you guide me? Will you lead me? Being clothed with Christ, I believe, means something different than that. It means that we follow Christ where he wants us to go. And we walk with him. We are not the ones that are saying, this is what I want to do with my life. Will you bless me? We're saying, Lord, what are you up to? Where are you leading? Where are you working in life? And can I walk with you with that? That's a part of being clothed with Jesus Christ as well. Taking off our clothes, putting on his. His life becomes ours. We no longer function in our strength and ability. We function in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're a part of a new family. In verse 28, it talks about the fact that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. And we're pretty good in our culture of putting labels on people. I think I've talked about this before. But Scripture, it talks about these things in Scripture that are labels that are placed on people. And we sing songs like red, brown, yellow, black, and white. That's a labeling that we have a tendency to do. Well, you're black and I'm white, or you're brown and I'm white. But when we are baptized into Christ, it does away with all labels. That's the neat thing about the family of God. There are no more labels anymore. We don't look at each other as male and female, although that's true. We don't look at each other as black and white, although that's true. But it does away with all of those labels. And we are one. We've become a part of a new family that transcends all labels that there are. And it's fascinating as you read through some of World War II, some of the stories of World War I and World War II, back when Christmas was actually observed pretty much around the world. I've read recently numbers of stories where they would be fighting, and Christmas Eve the fighting would stop. There's numbers of different stories where this actually happened, and I'm sure you've heard. But the one, Christmas Eve, the fighting stopped, and from the one trench, someone began singing a song. And it carried over to the other trench, and both trenches began singing together. Christmas Day dawned, and they came out of their trenches and began to play football on Christmas Day because no fighting was happening. And they came across football, I'm assuming means soccer. In America, most other countries, football means that it's soccer. But they came out and began to play soccer together, and they had an awesome time. And Christians, they were mingling as Christians, okay? And they were sharing together as Christians as best they could with the language barrier. Christmas Day was over. They went back to their trenches, and then it says this, and the next day it was business as usual, and the carnage began again. That's a fascinating story, but the neat thing about it is when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, it cuts through all labels. And even though we may be separated through nationality and all those kind of things, we're all one family when we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Today you're being baptized into a new family. You're a part of a new family. Verse 29, it talks about being heirs of the promise. And I already alluded to that. But as we're baptized into the family of God, I want to read verse 29 again. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. That means you're descendants of Abraham. And heirs according to the promise of Abraham, the same promise that was given to Abraham, we are now heirs of. That actually cuts through the Jewish and Gentile barrier. And it talks about there, there's no longer Jews and Gentiles because we've become heirs of the promise of Abraham. We're actually Abraham's seed. Different times throughout Scripture, it talks about the fact that we're descendants of Abraham's when we're born into Jesus Christ. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we will also be glorified together." And that's actually a part also of being heirs of Jesus Christ. You're heirs of the life of Jesus. That's the good and the power. It's also the suffering. And Romans 8 talks about the fact that as heirs of God, we may experience suffering in our life. But then we're also glorified together with him. Heirs of the promise of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, for those of you that are being baptized, I'm excited about the decision you've made. And today is a declaration of the fact that you're putting on new clothes. You've put aside the old. You're putting on the new, Jesus Christ. Be clothed with Jesus Christ as you leave here today and as you continue living your life. Because that's where strength and that's where the power for living victorious Christian life comes in. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the work that Jesus Christ has done here on this earth. He came to this earth to live, to die, to sacrifice his life for us. Father, I thank you for the ones here this morning that have taken this step, and they're publicly declaring today that they want to be a part of your family in a greater way. Lord, I pray that they would be able to clothe themselves with the clothes of Jesus Christ, that you would empower them and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning, Brandon Byler, Kelsey Byler, Mindy Byler, Kimberly Good, Mary Beth Nolt, and Alex Smoker have all chosen to be a part of the service here this morning. And I believe baptism is a symbol of what God has done in the life of the person, cleansing them from sin, as well as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their lives. It's also a declaration that they are forsaking the kingdom of this world and are a part of the kingdom of heaven. And we're here to celebrate with them this morning the choice that they have made to dedicate their lives to them. God has been faithful in calling them. He's been faithful in their lives. They have responded, and we want to celebrate that response as well. And so I've asked them all to come up and to share a testimony this morning. So if you can come up right now. Yep. Actually, they're the six of the ones that are going to be baptized are going to share their testimony. And then Bethany Furman, who was not here when we took in members earlier, is going to be coming up later on and sharing a testimony. Brandon?
When I was 9, I accepted the Lord into my heart, but I never really lived it out. It was just some words I said so I could say I was a Christian. So when I was 11, I truly rededicated my life to the Lord and feel like I have been changed ever since.
When I was 8, I became a Christian, and it was just kind of like this thing that you do when you're a you're in a Christian family. You accept God into your life, and then you go to heaven. But it was kind of like a win-win situation for me. I don't have to make any changes. But then when I was 11, I rededicated my life to the Lord during one of our revival meetings here at church. And it was then that I realized that to be a Christian, you have to make a change in your life. You can't just stay the same. And that's when my life really changed. And now, this summer, I went on a missions trip to Belize. And it made a big impact on my life, just like ministering to the kids down there. And I was like, wow, this is really great. And then when I came back, I was studying for my Bible quizzing, and I came across this verse in John chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "Do not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And God showed me through that verse that the people here, they are the same as the people in Belize. They all need God. And I realized that I was trying so hard to find ways to minister for God. And I was looking in all these different places, in different countries, in different states, in different cities. But I was missing out on the ones that were right in front of me at school and at work and wherever, the people I see every day. And yeah, I just want to ask you all to pray for me as I go through this journey, because I can't do it alone. And I know that God wants me to minister to the people that are in my life that he placed there for me to minister to.
When I was 6 or 7, I became a Christian, and I didn't really understand what it meant, and I was just doing it because it was the thing to do. And yeah, and I didn't really get it. But when I was 10, I rededicated my life, and God has really been showing me that it's not just like some words you say and everything. It's you need to live it out. And yeah, and I'm just trying to find God's plans for me, and I ask you to pray for me during my journey.
I had grown up in a Christian family, and so when I first accepted Christ into my heart, it didn't mean much to me because I thought it was just something that everybody did. And then as I grew older, I began to question, am I really saved or not? And if what would happen to me if I died? And so I'd asked Christ into my heart several times, but I'd still have these doubts. And then one day I was with my mom, and on January 4, 2010, I accepted Christ into my heart. I rededicated my life to him, and now I can look back on that day, and I know that I'm saved, and I have peace about it. Some verses that really meant a lot to me were John 10, 27 to 28. Jesus answered, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." And also Joshua 1, 5. The Lord said, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." And you can continue to pray for me as I walk and grow in my walk with God.
Well, I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old, mainly because I wanted to go to heaven, and I thought hell seemed like a very scary place. So I believe I became a Christian then, but I was pretty complacent, and as the years progressed, I was kind of asleep as a Christian. And then over the last 2 years, and especially this summer, God has been working in my life in some incredible ways. He's been waking me up. I've been growing in him, and I'm just so excited to take today as an opportunity to say, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm putting away the old, and I'm putting on Christ.
I first accepted Christ when I was like about 8 years old, and while I knew what I was doing then, it didn't really mean as much to me then as it does now. And I guess it's kind of a continual struggle to live my life the way God wants me to live it, not how I want to live it. I'd like to read a verse here. Thanks. Luke 9:25, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" I guess this verse, it really tells us that while we can have like anything here on earth, if we don't have our soul in the right place, then it doesn't really mean anything. So in closing, I'd like to thank my family, my mom and dad, for raising me in a Christian home and giving me a godly example, and also my friends for just being there for me and, yeah, being a godly influence in my life.
I want to thank each of you for being willing to come up in front of a large gathering of people and publicly drive a stake, saying, you know what, I believe in God. This is where I'm choosing to stand. This is how I'm going to live my life. I had the opportunity, the privilege of teaching most of the lessons of the baptism class, and I enjoyed my time with you guys. One thing that we focused on in the class, as you guys well know, is something Mark talked about repeatedly this morning, and that is, have we counted the cost? What is living for Christ going to cost us? Because the reality of it is, if we're living for Christ, it's going to cost us something. And for the rest of you, for myself, we need to be asking ourselves that question. What, if anything, is it costing us? And if it's not costing us, why isn't it? Because it should be. It's going to make us very different from everyone else. And I admire you guys for being willing to take that stand here this morning. I'm going to bless you for it. I know God will. I want to ask Bethany Furman to come up and have her share her testimony as well. And then while they're all up front, we want to go ahead and bring them into the church membership. And following that, we'll move into the baptism service in the pond.
I became a Christian when I was about 9. And then around the age of probably 14 or 15, I rededicated my life to God and I really started to grow. And like most stories, I really didn't quite understand it before. And through a few different experiences, I really just started to learn the heart of God and just really started growing. And obviously, I'm still growing. But a verse that really did help me was, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. It just encouraged me that the Bible didn't say that you fall down, you're wicked or whatever, but you get back up. And yeah, I've been going to this church since I was like 2. And I really love what God has done, is doing, and is going to do here. And I'm just really excited for this privilege to be able just to stop watching and start serving Christ with you guys. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Bethany. Just to clarify, Bethany was baptized, I don't remember what year it was, but it was a few years back. She was in our new members class previously, just wasn't present when we brought the rest of the class in as members. I have some questions, a question for each of you that I'd like to ask you, and then a question for the congregation as well. And as a congregation, then I'll give you opportunity after I ask the question, if you can support their commitment of faith and their words of commitment, if you can support that, I want to ask you to stand then after I have asked you, the congregation, a question. But to each of you up front here, can you affirm that you have a growing relationship with God, and after reviewing our covenant, that this is what you believe, and that you are committed to accountability and responsibility as a member of this church? Okay, to the congregation, do you accept them as a member of this congregation and commit yourself to stand beside them, accept, support, and pray for them as a part of the body here at Life Fellowship? And hopefully that's something that, as you think about that for just a moment, think about it in terms of those next to you as well. That's what you committed yourself to. As a member of this body. And if you can say to these young folks up here that that's where you're at this morning, I invite you to stand. Thank you. I ask that you bow your heads with me. I'd like to just have a prayer of dedication for this body of believers. Father in heaven, thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence here with us this morning. I know that you were here witnessing what went on here, what's going to be taking place in the pond in just a few minutes. Father, I thank you for each of these young folks. I thank you for each member of this congregation, for each person here this morning. And Father, I pray that we as a body would take our commitments to each other seriously and really care for each other and about each other, even when tough love is necessary, whatever shape that may take. But Father, it's exciting to have been here this morning to be a part of this. And I thank you for this body of believers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of announcements. We're going to be moving over to the pond. Probably most of you have been here for baptism services in the past. And we're going to be doing that pretty much as we have in the past. Give us a couple of minutes to change out of shoes and such things. A reminder for all you dads, any cell phones, make sure you let them hear, or else they will take a drink. But as for the congregation, give us just a minute or two to get ready, and then you can gather around the fence, spread out as far as you need to be able to see, but we'll be baptizing just off the edge of the dock here. Thank you.
Actually, I'll do a little introduction. Actually, as we get started, the dads are going to give a word of blessing to their child before we go into the water. So Kent's going to start, and then we'll go in and baptize Brandon, and then we'll just follow through with that. So.
Well, what an exciting day, Brandon, and it's a joy to be able to experience this with you. God has gifted you in so many ways. He's given you leadership qualities. He's given you mechanical skills and relational skills and many other things. And I just want to encourage you to use those skills for God's glory, and in that is where you will find your purpose and your fulfillment. I really appreciate your testimony, and I love seeing your passion and your excitement for God and your desire to serve God and to be in His will. It's truly a blessing for your mother and I to see you walking with the Lord. And I've also seen you make some really good choices in your life, and I just encourage you to continue to build on those choices, because those will affect your life in a positive way the rest of your life. I love you. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud to call you my son. I want to read Philippians 1, verses 6, 9, and 10. As a prayer blessing on you, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Brandon, I too want to say to you, it's been neat to see you grow and mature. And I do believe that God has done a work in your life, just as I've watched you over the last number of years. And I want to bless you as you've made this decision and choice to follow God and to be obedient to Him. So just as we move into the baptism, Brandon, do you believe in one true eternal God, who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life. And in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who leads and guides us in the Christian life. Okay, you can kneel. You can just flip it over. Just take your time. You're okay. Brandon, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced His forgiveness for your sins? Is it your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of the world and commit yourself to a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live? Brandon, in this confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Give me the nod whenever you're ready. And in the Son. And in the Holy Spirit.
God, I thank you for Brandon's life and for all that you are doing in his life. And I thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've given him. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to work and to move in his life. And I'm just so proud of him, God, and thank you for giving him to us. Amen.
Father, I thank you for Brandon. I thank you for his decision to take this step and be baptized into your kingdom, into your family. And Father, just right now, I pray a blessing on him. I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Fill, empower him as a young man. As he continues to grow and mature, Lord, that you would be the wind under his wings that he needs, that you would be the one that enables and strengthens and guides and blesses him. Father, I pray that his heart would continue to follow after you and to pursue you. And Lord, I pray that for leading and guidance of your Holy Spirit in that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Actually, let me say this. They've actually, all of them have been given a towel with their name and the date that they were baptized as a remembrance.
Kelsey, I love you as my daughter. So I was thinking about what to say. My mind had to go back to your childhood. And I remember at your birth, I didn't know if you would even be a normal child. I didn't know if you would walk. I didn't know if you would run. I remember the many casts on your feet because of your club feet and the surgery it took to correct that. And I just thank God for his healing in that area. I remember your first steps that you took at 18 months, and what a blessing that was to me. I remember you at age 1 singing Jesus Loves Me, and you couldn't even talk yet. And it was in perfect tune. I remember you at age 8 accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and then rededicating your life at a revival meeting. I remember I've seen you develop meaningful friendships with a lot of good people. And I want to thank your friends for being here. You played a very significant part in my daughter's life. I've seen you use your musical talents to bless our home and to bless many others. I watched you run a mile at a Maxa track meet. I watched you confidently enter high school and excel at what you're doing. Kelsey, I love you, and I want to leave you with a verse. And it's sort of my paraphrase to Kelsey. I want you to be quick to listen to others, to your family and to your friends. Kelsey, I want you to be slow to speak. I want you to think through things and only say those things which lift someone up. Kelsey, be slow to anger. Allow God to protect you from frustration and disappointment. I've seen you offer so much to so many people. Continue to do that. Kelsey, you're my grown-up daughter, and you bring me great joy. Keep looking to Jesus, the one who has set you free. I love you.
Kelsey, I too want to bless you. And I, just in watching your life and observing, I believe that God has a work for you. And your dad has talked some about just the beginning of your life and some of the complications of things. But I believe God is going to use that and has used that already to mold and to shape you into a woman that's going to be incredibly used in his kingdom. And I want to bless you. As you've taken this stand here today. Kelsey, do you believe in one true eternal God who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who leads and guides us in the Christian life? Okay, if it's still your desire to be baptized, you can kneel. Kelsey, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced his forgiveness for your sins? Is it your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live? Kelsey, on this confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I just pray that you would bless Kelsey. I thank you for her testimony and for the way that she loves you, the way that she wants to serve you with her whole heart. And I just pray a blessing on her as she, on this day, marks totally following you with her whole heart. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Kelsey. I thank you for her commitment to follow you and be obedient to the call that you've placed on her life. I thank you for the way that you have worked in her life up until this point. And Lord, I'm confident that you will continue to do that. But right now, I just pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in her life. Lord, anoint and bless and guide her as she's driven the stake here today. And Lord, as she's made the statement before the scene and the unseen worlds of her commitment to you, Lord, just pour out a special anointing and blessing on her life here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Mindy, I couldn't help but remember just over 12 years ago on August 1st, you were born, and you were a tremendous blessing to your family, to Mother and me and your siblings then, and you have continued to be a blessing over these 12 years. And I want to give the Lord honor this morning for the way that he preserved your life 2 months later after you were born. Because to me, this is very significant. And coming home from school that day, I had decided it was a beautiful day similar to this day. I had decided to move the bull that had gone into the wrong pasture back to where he belonged. And your mother was still recuperating from the birth, and you had decided not to sleep all day. And so she was sort of at the end of her endurance, and I said, I'll take you with me on my back in a backpack like I often did with all of our children. But the Lord changed my mind as I was upstairs changing clothes, and he also put you to sleep on the couch in that time. And so when I came back downstairs and prepared to go out, you were sleeping, and I left you sleep on the couch. And I have been so grateful to the Lord for sparing us that pain. If you would have been on my back that day, I'm not sure if we would be standing here together now. And so I thank the Lord and honor him for the way that he has already preserved you and has made you a beautiful person. In these last 12 years, it has been a journey that I treasure, and I value your life. And today is a wonderful day of celebration and of giving back to the Lord what he has given you, your life. So, Mindy, I love you, and I thank God for you. And I know that your siblings also treasure and value you, as well as your mother. I would like to just read the words of Isaiah chapter 40, because, Mindy, I know that you've already experienced difficulty, you've already experienced hurt and weariness, and you will continue to experience some of this because life brings this to us. But even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. And those are God's words to you today, Mindy, of blessing and of empowerment in your life.
It's a privilege to be here with you this special day. As Dwalin said, I didn't know all that story. And that's amazing how God worked that day. And along with your parents, your children, I mean your siblings, we rejoice that you're here today making this declaration to follow God with all your heart. So, Mindy, do you believe in the one true eternal God who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who leads us and guides us in the Christian life? If it's still your desire, can you kneel, and then we'll baptize you. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced his forgiveness for sins? Is your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to renounce Satan, the things of this world, and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live? Upon this confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together.
Father, I thank you so much for the blessing of Mindy's life. Thank you for her commitment to you, for her desire to really live for you. And I pray that you would help her to do that each day of her life. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that she has been to us and to many others. And Lord, I just give her back to you today, and ask that you would help her to be strong in you, that you would help her to be ready to forgive, and to walk humbly before you, but wholly before you as well. Thank you for Mindy, and I just thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the statement that Mindy is making today, to declaring to everyone here before you that you are Lord of her life. And Lord, I pray a blessing on her of your presence, of your peace, and of your protection as she lives for you. Lord, guide her. I pray that she be sensitive to your spirit, to your leading. Just help her to be an encourager to those around her, to be a light in this dark world. Lord, you have great plans for her, and you promise to be with her. And Lord, I pray anointing upon her in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Well, Kim, it doesn't seem that long ago that it's almost 16 years that you were born, and you arrived 6 weeks earlier than Mom and I thought you would. And one of the concerns the doctors had was whether your lungs would be developed properly. But through these years, you've developed the love of running, and we've seen that your lungs are developed, and you are healthy, and we thank the Lord for it. But most importantly, Kim, as you run the Christian life, as you go through that, you need to develop the endurance to be faithful and deal with whatever life throws at you. And today, Mom and I want to commit to run, if you will, beside you and help you through that. We appreciate you, Kim, and for all the blessings you've been to us. We love you.
Well, Kim, it's been a privilege to watch you grow and become a young lady. And we're grateful, just along with your parents, that you've made this choice today. And I pray God will bless your life with purpose and meaning and his presence with you. Kim, do you believe in one true eternal God who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who leads and guides us in the Christian life? If it's your still desire to be baptized, you may kneel. Kim, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced his forgiveness for your sins? Is your own personal desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live? Upon your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.
God, today we ask that you would bless Kim as she makes this public statement, and ask that she can always remember this day and remember that today she showed the world that she is one of yours. We ask to bless her as she lives her life for you. In Jesus' name.
Father, we rejoice today with Kim and with Dean Nueta of your grace and your mercy that you showed to Kim in calling her to be a daughter and son of yours. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be a part of your family, to be sons of yours, as Mark talked about this morning, to be heirs. And Lord, I thank you that you've protected Kim's life in her early years. And Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for her. Lord, I pray for your protection and your peace and your presence to go with her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mary Beth, this morning your mother and I are very blessed to be here with you and to take part in your baptism. You've been a real blessing in our lives, and you brought great joy to our lives when you were 5 years old when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. And now today you're being baptized as a witness that you're willing to stand with God's people. May God bless you, and we love you.
It's a privilege to have the opportunity to have gone through the class with you. You're a thinker, and I like the questions you ask, and I think if you keep asking those questions and being willing to dig into the Word the way that I believe you are and have, who knows what God can do with you. And I believe He has a plan for you, and I just want to bless you in that and bless you for being here today and for driving this stake. Mary Beth, do you believe in one true eternal God, who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who leads and guides us in the Christian life? Yes. Upon this confession of faith, I ask that you kneel, and we'll have the baptism. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced his forgiveness for your sins? Is it your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God? Yes. As long as you live? It's upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
God, this morning, I thank you for the plan of salvation, and thank you that Mary Beth accepted that. Thank you for the ordinance of baptism that you give us. It's something that we can look back to, something we did, something we can hold on to, a stake that she's driven in her life, that she's publicly going to live for you and declare you. Father, I pray that as a family, that the church family and her family of friends will walk her through this and through with her life here in this earth, that someday she can hear the words from you, well done.
God, I too thank you for Mary Beth. I pray your blessing on her life. Father, she's driving a stake here today, and I pray that you could drive it deeply in her soul, in her memory. Just pray that as the angels in the heavenly realm are watching, Father, I pray that you can impress on Mary Beth the reality of the spiritual realm in a new way. And God, as she stands here before her, kneels here before you, before her friends, her family, just ask your blessing on her, on her life. I pray a hedge of protection around her in the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Alex, it's my pleasure and I'm honored to be here today in front of all these people and let them know that you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And you've brought your mom and myself lots of joy and our family. And I just want to bless you today for the growth that we've seen in your life in the last number of years. We've seen you make choices. You've been faced with choices to make. You've made good choices, and we bless you for that. And we, it's, God has given you a lot of desire to learn. And we've seen that in your love to read. And in the last year, He has taken your love to read to another level as we watch you diligently read His Word each day. And we want to bless you for that as well. You've been very intentional about that, and we bless you. I have a verse here that the Lord showed to me or brought to my mind this week, and I feel it's a verse that He has and I have for you. Therefore, my beloved son, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Alex, I'm honored to be able to be a part of this statement, this stake driving in your life. It seems like I've been around you since you were very small, and I've enjoyed watching you grow. You've become a man, and I believe a godly man, and I think God's going to do big things with you. He's given, as your dad mentioned, I've seen that love of learning in my brief interaction with you comparatively. By the questions you ask in the class, you think, and you think deeply. And that's a good thing. I think God wants to use you. I don't know all the ways, but I know He will, and I just want to bless you in that. Open yourself up to Him, and no one knows what God can do with a person that's willing to do that. Just want to challenge you with that. Alex, do you believe in one true God, one true eternal God, who is the creator of all? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who leads and guides us in the Christian life. I ask that you kneel. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced His forgiveness for your sins? Is it your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to renounce Satan and all the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live? It's upon that confession of faith, Alex, that I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord, we believe today there's much rejoicing in heaven, and we rejoice with you in the choices that Alex has made and the choice to identify with you in this way here today. And I pray, God, that a special blessing on his life as he continues to follow you and whatever your call is for him. Lord, I just pray for a real steadfastness in him for you. We pray in your name.
Father in heaven, I ask your blessing on Alex today. He's made a public confession of faith. He's driven that stake in his life, and Father, I pray that you drive it deep, deep in his memory. Father, I pray that he goes through life, and when he encounters those difficult times, and he will, I pray that you could bring this to his mind. Remembering kneeling here before his family, his friends, a lot of people that he cares about and that care about him. And Father, I just pray your blessing on Alex this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, it's an exciting time for us as a church family and you as individual families and as you as ones that were baptized. We want to have a prayer of dedication to for you this morning as those who were baptized. So a prayer for the meal. There is lunch for everyone. You're invited to stay following the closing prayer. And after the closing prayer, we'll sing a verse of "To God Be the Glory." And that's our prayer, that God would receive all the glory today for what has been done. For lunch, you may have to use the lawn chairs under the tent. So for those of you who are new here, just go in the door to the left and make a circle around the cafeteria and pick up your food. And you can eat inside or else out here. And also there'll be a time of welcoming those that were baptized, words of blessing and encouragement as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, the beautiful day you've given us. Just a reminder of your awesome creation, your power, your beauty. Just a little bit of a glimpse of who you are as a God. And we thank you for that picture this morning. And we thank you for the ordinance of baptism and how it's a driving of a stake and saying today, I identify with you. And Lord, it's been said a lot today of the stake that was driven. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon these ones that were baptized. I pray for your presence and your purpose and your peace to go with them, to follow them all the days of their life. And Lord, as they begin today, I pray that they would complete this race faithful to you until you come. Lord, we thank you for the food that's been prepared. I pray a blessing upon the food and those who have prepared and our fellowship that would be encouraging and uplifting to each other and most of all honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.